7 minutes after the hour of 5 on this, The Drive Home at 5 with yours truly, Curtis Sliwa. And before we go into the change that has been made in the Trump immigration plan, and in fact a ban now on 6 countries of travel into the United States as opposed to the original 7, everybody is going to be tuned in tonight. Because when he was last with us, Mark Levin, that you can hear from 6 to 9, he was with us Thursday. Then he had that, who is that? Not ready for prime time, Bon Jovi, Bongino, whatever, on Friday. Read off a piece of paper for 3 hours. The most boring show on radio. Well, Mark will be back after making headlines because apparently Mark spoke on Thursday. I was listening. Talking about how Trump's phones had been tapped at Trump Tower. Breitbart wrote about it Friday. Trump goes ballistic at his staff meeting on the White House Friday afternoon. Flies off to Mar-a-Lago. Wakes up 6 o'clock in the morning Saturday and goes on this Twitter rampage that has led us to where we are today. Which is at everybody going, huh? We'll be dealing later on with that with Ellis Hennigan, who's the writer of Trump's America column for Metro New York. But just listen to a little bit of what Mark had to say on Thursday night that set off this controversy.
Where did the orders come from to intercept these phone calls, to record these phone calls? How many more phone calls involving Michael Flynn and other would-be administration officials were intercepted and recorded? Were the President of the United States, the now President of the United States, Donald Trump, were his phone calls intercepted and recorded?
Now, you've got to be listening tonight, and hopefully Mark will be with us and not that low budget. What was that, Bon Jovi, whatever, Bon Jovo. Anyway, that's coming up from 6 to 9. The whole world will be listening. Secondly, today, earlier, the brand new Secretary of State Tillerson introduced Trump's revised travel ban, which no longer has Iraq on the list of the 7.
As threats to our security continue to evolve and change, common sense dictates that we continually reevaluate and reassess the systems we rely upon to protect our country. While no system can be made completely infallible, the American people can have high confidence we are identifying ways to improve the vetting process and thus keep terrorists from entering our country.
On the line to discuss that, Kari Hong, an assistant professor at Boston College Law School and an expert in immigration law. Thanks for joining us on The Drive Home at 5, Kari.
Thank you.
Okay, so what do you make of Trump's revised travel ban, which this time has Iraq off the list, so it's now from 7 countries down to 6?
Yes, and also, it's a strange order. It also expressly took out lawful permanent residents. It also took out refugees and anyone who's been granted asylum, and also, or people who have already been granted refugee status, I should say. And then it makes waivers available for other individuals if they might have significant ties in the United States. And lastly, it took out anyone with an existing valid visa that was issued on or before January 27th. So this is any doctor, any student, any visitor who has a valid visa in hand will not be affected by this order.
So is this the kind of an order that would get you or some of your colleagues who have been in so opposition to the first order to not challenge it in the federal court system?
No, it still has the main defects that originally brought the litigation. And those two defects are that why was this issued? There is a question that if this is still – no, there's no question. He did not say all Muslims are banned. There's no doubt if he issued that, that wouldn't be a Muslim ban and that would violate the First Amendment. But the courts have long recognized that actors with animus or discrimination use neutral language and are much savvier than being explicit and can manifest their bias in implicit ways. So the courts will absolutely question about, is this an intended Muslim ban? That's the first question. And then the second question is that what the Ninth Circuit recognized now in a published decision is that even though this technically only is to the pure foreigner, the pure stranger has no ties to the United States, it still recognizes that citizens have an interest in getting certain individuals into her country. Doctors, hospitals have a right to hire the best doctor in the world and the best researcher. Universities have the right to hire the best faculty member. Citizens have the right to bring in their spouses and children. So there will, those interests will still be at forefront despite the attempt to try and limit those.
I know, but with the six countries listed, Iraq now being exempted, Yemen, Somalia, Libya, those three countries in total chaos. Civil war takes place there. Syria, we know the damage there, and the Sudan. Do we really think that there are people of that capability who want to come to the United States, who universities and hospitals are seeking to put onto their staff? I would think things are so chaotic there that those countries don't even resonate on their radar screen.
Well, no, we do. We do have people. We also have people from Iran who are, you know, extremely talented scientists and doctors who come to our country. So those seven countries are not fully isolated, or those six countries are not completely isolated. But also, there's another question, though. I mean, of the 78 terror attacks that the White House identified when trying to justify its ban, of those attacks, only eight of those attacks had included the original seven countries. But citizens of France and Belgium are responsible for most of the attacks. So it still begs the question, even if you're dealing with six countries that are a mess, we still have visa waivers with Belgium and France.
All right, but I thought the main objection to the first travel ban, one of the first executive orders signed by incoming President Donald Trump, was the fact that he was making it easier for Christian refugees to come in. They removed that so that everyone is the same. You're a Yazidi, you're a Maronite Christian, you're a Jew, you're a Muslim, you're an atheist, you're an animist, you're all treated the same.
Well, yes and no, if you're one of these six countries, which are Muslim majority. And so the problem that I think Trump is going to encounter is that he can't govern the way that he campaigned. This first draft of the order is out in the public domain. This is absolutely going to be relevant, Exhibit 1, in these court cases to explain why is this revised ban necessary and what is its true intent. And he's going to be hobbled by that. He's going to be hobbled by the existing text and then the attempts that he tried to defend it with. So all of that's still relevant.
Well, I would think, though, in the course of public discourse, that the fact is that they're going to allow in eventually 50,000 Syrian refugees after 4 months of doing extreme vetting before they allow any to enter. That's just about half of what Barack Obama was letting in or Hillary would have allowed to have come in. I mean, that's a major concession when you consider that Trump all throughout the campaign was saying not one Syrian Muslim would be coming into this country.
Well, yeah, and I mean, something that's significant is that any refugee coming into our country has already had 2 years of extensive, thorough vetting. And it's actually the order didn't identify any more vetting that will occur. So again, it still begs the question of what is this for? What is it doing? And yes, of course, he should be lauded for that, but the original number was going to be 1,000 or 110,000. So the question is, why is he reducing it by 60? Especially since his argument is that, you know, not one more, any is a risk, then why are you letting 50,000 in suddenly after 1 month ago saying that he couldn't afford to have any in? So unfortunately, you know, there are no alternative facts in a court of law. He has to explain, and his lawyers are going to have to explain what is going on.
Well, Kari, if you were to predict, where do you think that first legal challenge may take place? We know the last one, I think, was a combination of the attorney generals of Washington State and I think Minnesota. I'm not totally sure.
Yes.
Where do you think that challenge might emerge now to try to put this ban on hold?
Well, I think it will probably still be in Washington State, and also there was, it didn't get as much press, but there is actually a preliminary injunction in place on the old ban in Virginia, and I suspect that those interests will absolutely refile the complaint, because especially in the state of Washington, if anyone goes and reads the complaint, which is available online, it's the University of Washington that identified the harm to its students and to its university members. And so those interests are still going to be impacted by the new ban in not being able to hire the best employees, not being able to recruit the best students, and not being able to even have academic conferences.
Do appreciate that, Kari Hong, an immigration law expert, saying, yes, this new revised travel ban, excluding Iraq, will definitely be challenged in the federal court system. Obviously, this discussion will be continued.